Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 18th. People from Midland, Odessa, joined to meet migrants' needs. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Editor's note, First Baptist Senior Pastor Darren Wood has written an article about the migrant crisis that will appear in the weekend edition. A collection of churches, nonprofits, and individuals from Midland, Odessa, and around the Permian Basin have come together to meet a need for the migrants at the facility in Midland County. Don Weeks, a pastor with Connection Christian Church in Odessa, told the Reporter Telegram on Wednesday afternoon that officials at the migrant facility responded about a need for the hundreds of juvenile boys currently staying there. She said that officials said they wanted art supplies, and in a short period of time, people from around the area delivered with enough supplies for, quote, hundreds of people, unquote. She called the response miraculous and typical of what happens in Midland and Odessa when people are determined to meet a need. Quote, We have been overwhelmed by the generosity of individuals, nonprofits, and churches that have asked, How can we help? Weeks said. The needs came from officials with the Department of Health and Human Services and American Red Cross. Weeks said it is important that people just don't show up with what they believe could be of use, but that natural disasters and situations like the creation of migrant facilities require a different system. Quote, Managing the response is a challenge because people are so generous, said Weeks, who added that those she has communicated with in Midland and Odessa are ready to meet other needs as they come about. Weeks said that immigration is a tricky situation because of the politics of a region, state, or nation, but taking care of one's neighbor is not. The Bible, she said, is clear-cut about treatment of immigrants or foreigners by people of faith. Quote, The heart of our response is clearly outlined in Scripture, Weeks said. There is not a lot of wiggle room in what our response should be. End quote. First Baptist Church Senior Pastor Darren Wood has written an opinion article for the Reporter Telegram, and in it he wrote that, quote, While there are deep and profound political elements in this moment and political remedies are rightfully called for, let us remember these young people are indeed still that, people, people for whom Jesus died. As your pastor and your friend, let me ask you to pray with me for these people and for their protection, for their future, for their salvation. To be clear, I don't blame anyone who has concerns, political or safety, about their presence here. At the same time, let's remember Jesus came for all people. Maybe we need to be reminded of what Jesus said after he questioned the man about the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus said, quote, Who is this man's neighbor? The man rightly answered, The one who showed mercy. Jesus' simple command still applies now. Go and do likewise. End quote. Weeks again thanked the coalition of churches, nonprofits, and individuals that came together to meet a need. She added that, quote, We will activate that network if we get other needs. End quote. 53 juvenile migrants at Midland facility test positive for COVID. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. 53 children at the facility in Midland County for unaccompanied migrants who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border have tested positive for COVID-19, about 11% of the 485 minors currently at the converted man camp, according to Mayor Patrick Payton. The U.S. Health and Human Services Department has not provided details to local officials about the children who have tested positive, Payton said in a phone interview. He said the department has said only that they're following CDC guidelines for quarantining. Quote, "The concern we have with that is if someone comes to pick the child up, as they're telling us they're going to, will they release that child, or will that child have to remain in quarantine until they're released?" Baden said. HHS has said those with COVID-19 will remain in quarantine, according to Baden, but he said he thinks that decision may change. It's also unknown to what extent positive cases at the facility will add to community spread, if at all. The miners are confined to the Cotton Logistics Man Camp southwest of city limits, but local officials don't know the protocols staff who come in contact with positive patients are following, Baden said. He said he believes all federal staff are living at the facility. Officials said Monday that any children who require hospitalization will be transported to Midland Memorial Hospital. Teenagers are less likely to have severe cases of COVID-19 unless they have underlying health conditions. The HHS Office of Refugees Resettlement advised shelters last Friday to shorten quarantine periods to 7 days if unaccompanied children are tested within 48 hours before the end of quarantine and the test is negative, according to a report from Yahoo News. Children were previously required to isolate for 10 days with daily monitoring. HHS opened the shelter in Midland County on Sunday night under direction from the Biden administration to help alleviate overcrowding at border control facilities caused by a recent uptick in unaccompanied minors coming from Central America. Democrats defend Biden's lack of communication with local leaders. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Two Midland County Democratic Party leaders stated local leaders are selectively criticizing the White House for its alleged lack of communication. Former Democratic Party Chairman David Rosen told a reporter Telegram in an email, quote, "I don't recall the Trump administration alerting county and city governments as they moved migrant children around the country," end quote. Current party chair Kathy Broderick also commented about the actions of previous administrations and that the federal government has a procedure for everything. Quote, "That was not my concern that local leaders didn't know about it," said Broderick, a former federal employee. Both talked about the problem at the border requiring an immediate solution. The Department of Health and Human Services began bringing juvenile migrants to a former man camp on Sunday night. Local officials said this week they expect around 700 total. Rosen, when asked about the migrant facility and the lack of communication with local officials, said his thoughts included, quote, "For the safety of the children, not alerting the populace, given the antipathy many here have for immigrants, it is the safe thing to do. It is the humane and decent thing to do. Remember the biblical imperative to welcome the stranger. These children are to be sheltered temporarily while being reunited with family and extended family around the U.S. Remember that most of our families were immigrants a few generations ago. There, but for fortune, go you or I," end quote. Broderick said that immigration is a political can that continues to be kicked down the road. She did say that, in retrospect, communicating with local officials should be part of the federal government's procedure and, quote, "why they didn't do that, I don't know," end quote. She also said she understands the not-in-my-backyard attitude, quote, "most of America has that attitude," she said. Broderick is a former Big Spring resident, compared it to residents there not wanting to live next to prisons. Gilberto Hinojosa, chairman of the Texas Democratic Party, when asked about the facility in Midland and lack of communication with local leaders, emailed the following response to the Reporter Telegram this week. Quote, "The Biden administration is doing the best it can to pick up after Trump's failures," Hinojosa wrote. "The Trump administration left a backlog of migrants for nearly a year now, and that is when the influx of migrants began. However, the real failure at the border is the fact that Republicans would much rather vilify immigrants than own up to the fact that they are not getting aid to the people who need it. More than 45,000 Texans have died needlessly because of the failed Republican response to this pandemic. That is a fact we cannot be distracted from, and Texas voters will not forget it. End quote. The Midland County Elections Office reported that Biden collected about one of every five votes cast in Midland County. His 20% of the vote was the second highest for a Democratic Party candidate for president in Midland County going back to 2004. Broderick said, despite the numbers in Midland County, that elections have consequences and that, quote, I had to suck it up during Trump. I guess that is what people will have to do these 4 years, end quote. Broderick said issues like the stopping of Keystone Pipeline and banning of new permits in New Mexico were part of the Biden campaign. She also has confidence in new Interior Department Secretary Deb Haaland to make logical decisions. Quote, I don't see anything that the Biden administration has done that is detrimental to the Permian Basin, Broderick said. Dufford says Biden brought latest crisis to Midland. This is commentary by newspaper editor Stuart Doreen. It's crisis situation again. Midlanders talk about returning to normal, but at this point, is it possible to even know what normal is? COVID economic downturn, negative oil online schooling, rioting at the U.S. Capitol, the coldest period in Midland's history, and now migrants. Quote, I have 20 years of crisis in me, City Councilman Scott Dufford said, just after serving on the City Council this 1 year, end quote. Dufford might be the lucky one of the group. He's the dean of the City Council, the person with as much experience as the rest of the council combined. He's been a councilman during normal times. There are four members of the City Council still waiting for their chance to govern. They came on the council in the first couple of months of 2020. Then COVID struck, and it all went downhill from there. During crisis mode, being proactive becomes tougher. Basically, their council experience can be summed up in a mask mandate conversation and not much else. Quote, it makes me want to do it less, Dufford said about the last 12 months or so. I have enjoyed 19 years of service on the City Council, but the last year has not been enjoyable, end quote. It would have been a difficult year even if the most recent crisis had not taken place, but it did. And this one does bother Dufford, an oil man by profession and political conservative by nature. The opening of a migrant facility in Midland by the Biden administration and not communicating with local officials was another straw. The first being the obvious executive order that paused new oil and gas drilling leases on federal lands, one that New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has warned the president will cause her state to lose even three-quarters of $1 billion over the next few years if it sees even a modest reduction in production, according to a report from the Associated Press. Quote, this is an assault on the Permian Basin coming from Washington like I have never seen before, Dufford said. This is being done to us for a reason, end quote. Is the Biden administration even worse than the Obama administration in his opinion? Oh yeah, he said. Quote, it does seem like Obama was a walk in the park compared to these guys, Dufford commented. Dufford was one of many Midlanders that applauded after the mayor, quote, nailed it this week by calling out the White House for, quote, orchestrated attack against Texas and the basin, end quote. On Monday, Mayor Payton called the decision to open the migrant facility without communicating with local officials as, quote, the strangest, most backward, disrespectful thing I think I've seen in a long time, end quote. Dufford addressed the hundreds of juvenile migrants currently residing southwest of the city of Midland in a former man camp. He told the reporter Telegram, the situation isn't about the migrants, but the situation today's border crisis has put them in. What's next for the migrants? He asked. That's exactly what many people have asked. These humans have been used like pawns by any number of people, including, in some cases, bad actors like coyotes, gangs, and drug cartels. They have even been used as pawns for politicians in this country to win their game of border politics. Still, there are worries about what's next, because there is no best-case scenario for many of them. It is easy to understand what those frustrated in Midland are saying, because no one is talking about what's next for those migrants, no matter their age. What does the future look like for a 15 to 17-year-old in one of these trailers at the Midland Federal Facility? It's hard to believe that many of these unaccompanied minors know for sure. Crisis situation? Midlanders, like their leaders, are living it again and again, and each crisis is different than the next. The past 12 months are making the leaders, probably like the rest of the community, long for normal, or better yet, boring. They are ready to get back to business and do something they haven't been able to do for what seemed like an eternity for Dufford, govern.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday. Number of vaccines administered in Midland tops 55,000. Midland Health reported Wednesday morning that the number of vaccines it has provided in Midland has topped 55,000. Midland Health showed that the 55,218 shots are 84.14% of those administered by Midland Health or transferred to other health entities. The Midland Health website shows 39,228 vaccines administered at the Horseshoe, 7,488 at Golf Course Church of Christ, and 6,149 to Midland Health employees. The rest were made in other locations, senior centers, nursing homes, and schools across the city. On Tuesday, there were 1,405 vaccines provided to people at the Horseshoe, 1,351, and Polo Park, 54. Overall, the number of vaccines administered by Midland Health in or outside Midland or transferred to other entities through Tuesday was 65,625. Vaccines this week, Monday, 1,722, Tuesday, 1,405. Positivity this week at Midland Health testing centers, total tests 256, positive cases 10, percentage through Tuesday 3.8%, percentage last week 5.8%. COVID patients in Midland Memorial Hospital 15, percentage of total patients 7%. Note, it is the fourth straight day that COVID patients made up 7% of total patients at MMH. Vaccination clinic at MLK Center by J.C. Lewis. Midland Memorial Hospital has teamed up with the Community Worship Center to host a vaccination clinic at the MLK Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. The vaccination clinic will be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on March 27th. To schedule an appointment, call 432-221-4VAX and ask for an appointment at the MLK vaccine event on March 27th. The Community Worship Center will provide food and drinks during the clinic. Vaccinations will be performed by Midland Memorial Hospital staff. As of March 4th, Midland Health has administered at least a first dose of the Pfizer vaccine to more than 21,000 individuals. The self-reported racial makeup of these recipients are American Indian 5.1%, Asian 1.5%, Black 3.6%, White 75.5%, unspecified 14.2%. The National Medical Association, NMA, is the largest and oldest national organization representing African American physicians and their patients in the United States. The NMA created a task force to review outcomes in the Black community. The task force identified persons receiving the vaccine were 94% less likely to develop COVID-19. Efficacy and safety were observed and consistent Both the percentage and number of black people enrolled are sufficient to have confidence in health outcomes of the clinical trials. Most importantly, the NMA task force supports recommendations by the FDA to approve the emergency use authorization for the Pfizer vaccine.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 18th. Beverly R. Ward, age 75, of Midland, passed away on March 13th. She was born April 5th, 1945, in Fort Worth, Texas, and was raised in Midland. She graduated from Carver High School in 1963 and later became a licensed beautician. She is survived by her sisters, Beatrice Hawker and Sandra Woodson, and her brother, Clarence Witten. Her daughters, Deshaun Witten and Brissandra Witten, and several grandchildren. Viewing will be on Friday, March 19th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pitkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Funeral services will be at New Jerusalem Baptist Church, 1801 North Carver Street in Midland, on Saturday, March 20th at 11 a.m. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Flowers may be sent to Llewellyn Garcia Pitkin Funeral Home and Chapel at 2508 North Big Spring Street in Midland, 79705. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pitkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapitkinfh.com. Joseph Peter Serra III, age 82, of Midland, passed away on Monday, March 15th, at Midland Memorial Hospital. No public services are scheduled. Jody Leon Whitley, age 45, passed away on March 15th. Visitation will be held on Thursday, March 18th, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Stanton Memorial Funeral Home. Survivors include his wife, Christina Whitley, daughter, Amber Whitley, sons, John Whitley, Matthew Whitley, and two brothers. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Stanton Memorial Funeral Home.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, March 18th, 2021. Texas leaders call on Russia for release. Pfluger, others demand release of Texas veteran. By Federico Martinez, F-M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z at OAOA.com. A coalition of high-ranking Republican leaders, including U.S. Representative August Pfluger, R. Texas, on Wednesday demanded Russian authorities immediately release former U.S. Marine Trevor Reed, a 29-year-old Texan they say was sentenced in July to 9 years in a Russian prison under false pretenses. Pfluger, Representative Michael McCall, R. Texas, Representative Kevin McCarthy, R. California, and Senator John Cornyn, R. Texas, issued their strongly worded demand during a Zoom press conference from the U.S. Capitol. Trevor Reed, who is one of my constituents, was sentenced to a decade in prison after Russian authorities discovered he was a former U.S. Marine, Pfluger said. These were political charges, and we're demanding that the Russian government release him. Pfluger and McCall, the lead Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, on March 3rd introduced a resolution calling for the release of Reed, who was born in Texas. The resolution was released with bipartisan support from 25 lawmakers and is now waiting for approval by the Congress and Senate. We're here to demand justice for Trevor Reed, Cornyn said during the press conference. We demand that he be freed. McCall added, Reed is an American hero who was tried by a kangaroo court. The U.S. government will not tolerate this by the Putin regime. We will fight every day until Reed is free. Despite the bold words, the four Republican leaders acknowledged that besides political pressure, such as imposing trade sanctions, there is little else they can do to prompt Russia to free Reid. Cornyn and Pfluger said they are working with President Joe Biden's administration and the State Department to review options. During Wednesday's press conference, the four Republicans declined to answer whether they would consider a political prisoner swap with Russia. Trevor's parents, Joey and Paula Reid, participated in the press conference. They used the opportunity to plead with the Russian government to free their son. The Reids said they had not heard from their son since March 2nd, when Trevor was transferred to a pre-detention center. According to the Reids, Trevor traveled to Moscow in the summer of 2019 to study the Russian language and visit his Russian girlfriend and her family. Just days before he was scheduled to return home, he joined in a birthday celebration for his girlfriend, where he was drinking vodka. On a cab ride home, Reid began to feel sick and exited the vehicle. Another occupant became worried and called police for help in transporting Reid to the hospital, Joey Reid said. When police discovered Reid was an American, he was transported to jail instead. After questioning him about his prior military experience, police then claimed that Reid tried to hurt police officers while he was intoxicated. At his trial in July, the judge threw out video evidence showing Reid never assaulted officers. American media, which covered the trial, reported that the officers frequently changed their stories about Reid's arrest, which was met by the judge's laughter. "Our son is not guilty," Joey Reid said during the press conference. "We're not saying that because we're his parents. It was filmed by American media that showed the police lied and evidence was thrown out. All we're asking is for our son to have the same kind of fair trial a Russian citizen would receive." A delicious thank you. Odessa Fire Rescue's fire inspector, Kenneth Fletcher, left, assembles a plate of barbecue at a volunteer luncheon for those who helped with the Ratliff Mass Vaccination Clinic Wednesday at the Odessa Fire Rescue Central Station. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Rotary Encore Feed Honors COVID Volunteers by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. Thanking the volunteers and workers who helped make the mass vaccination clinics at Ratliff Stadium run smoothly, the Odessa Rotary Club and Encore put on a free lunch for those who helped at Central Fire Station Wednesday. Knowing that plenty of people put in the long hours to make the drive-through clinics work, Odessa Rotary Club member and project co-chair Rodney Hurt said they wanted to do something to recognize all who worked to help members of the community get vaccinated. The Odessa Rotary Club wanted to do something nice for the volunteers at the vaccination center at Ratliff and for any healthcare worker from the front line who have put themselves in harm's way to come out and feed them lunch today, Hurt said. Hurt said the Odessa Rotary Club board of directors came up with the idea, and it wasn't long before they cooked up a barbecue meal that included pulled pork sandwiches, beans, and potato salad. So we reached out to the Apollo Perforators, and they have this wonderful cooking trailer where we were able to cook, Hurt said, adding that they were aiming to serve as many as 200 people. It's not the first time that the Odessa Rotary Club has done a free lunch event for frontline workers and volunteers. Back in August, on the one-year anniversary of the Odessa Midland shooting, the Rotary Club also did a free lunch for first responders. "That's what the Rotary Club is all about," Hurt said. "It's about serving the community and anything that we can do." Preparations took a couple of days for the meals, according to Hurt. After getting the cooking trailer set up and doing a little grocery shopping, and we were all set to go, Hurt said, the guys have been working overnight to cook the pork. Hurt said they had about 10 to 15 volunteers helping to serve food on Wednesday. We just love and appreciate the people who have been involved this past year in helping others out, Hertz said. Whether it's as a volunteer at the vaccine station or as a nurse in the intensive care unit, putting their lives at risk to help others is a big deal. The workers who were recognized for their work were very thankful of the appreciation by the Rotary Club. It's an appreciation to us, Hector Rios, who works with Odessa Parks and Recreation, said. We needed to do the job and everything. It's great for them to show their appreciation for everything that we did for the community. During the drive-through clinics, Rios said his job was to help set up tents along with tables and chairs, as well as anything else that needed to be set up. It was pretty tough, Rios said. It was a lot of work that we had to do, but we had to do what we had to do, and we were able to help everyone. Odessa Fire Rescue Training Captain Daniel Chavez was another person who was out at Ratliff, helping things run on schedule, and was thankful of the help from the volunteers. It's very nice of the Rotary Club to feed us and give us another extension of their gratitude, Chavez said. It wasn't just fire, but other organizations of the hospitals and our law enforcement. One big component was the volunteers out there. That was one of the more critical parts of this operation to make it work. If it wasn't for the volunteers, this never would have happened. Chavez's assignment out there was the operations section chief. It was basically a small part of the whole organization, Chavez said. I just made sure that everything was running like it was supposed to. If it wasn't, we would fix it. While Chavez added that there were plenty of small fires, figuratively, that had to be put out during the operation, he said he was pleased with how nice the public was during everything. They were very appreciative with us, Chavez said. They made us feel very good. At the end of the day, you're dragging your feet, but then you get that person that re-energizes you because you know that you're doing something good for the community. It goes a long way and further than people think. Director of Communications for the City of Odessa, Devin Sanchez, said it was good to see the first responders and frontline workers get the recognition that they deserve. There were also so many different departments and people in our city who made this work, Sanchez said. Our traffic department, our parks department, our street department, and the public information department. All of us had to work as a group to make sure that this worked. And then you add the extra level of volunteers. It was long days, and it was almost a three-month process. It was a lot of work to do, but nobody ever thought twice about doing it. There was a call to action, and everyone stepped up and helped. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Rudy Bow left, and Jimmy Bow unwrapped pork shoulder for pulled pork sandwiches for a volunteer luncheon for those who helped with the Ratliff Mass Vaccination Clinic Wednesday at the Odessa Fire Rescue Central Station. COVID app offers local numbers. Vinu Yankarla speaks with the media about the development of the COVID in the Basin app during a press conference about its release Wednesday morning at the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. By Federico Martinez, FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. Community leaders on Wednesday unveiled a COVID in the Basin app that will give Ector and Midland County residents instant access to a treasure trove of local and state COVID-related information. A demonstration of the free app, which can be downloaded through Apple and Android app stores, was presented during a press conference at the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. The app can also be downloaded by visiting www.covidinthebasin.com. COVID has been around for just over a year in our region. Odessa Regional Medical Center Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Saravanan said during the press conference, "This past summer, we began to look for a singular source of information. We wanted to develop something where people could go and verify what they saw on Facebook. that's how this was really born. The app draws its information from credible sources such as the CDC, WHO, and NIH, Sarah Vannon said. What makes the COVID in the Basin app unique is a focus on providing localized information to residents, said Sarah Vannon, one of several local healthcare officials who helped design the app. Residents can use the app to quickly find out where they can get tested, vaccinated, or treated, and related costs, Sarah Vannon said. It also provides links to COVID-related news provided by local media like the Odessa American, he added. The app, which provides information in English and Spanish, was created by Venu Yankarla, a local software engineer. The creation of the app was paid for by private donors. During his demonstration, Yankarla showed how easy the app is to use. A simple menu allows users to select from a variety of topics, such as where vaccines are available. A quick click lists all locations in Odessa and Midland where vaccinations are being offered, if there is any cost, and the current vaccine supply available at each site. Links to register for an appointment are included, if available. Updated weekly statistics of COVID-related deaths, rates, and test results are provided on the app homepage, Giancarlo said. Sarah Vannon said the Odessa Chamber of Commerce and City of Odessa's political support of the project played a major role in the effort. Because the app has COVID information, we couldn't just put it up, said Sarah Vannon, who noted app providers like Apple have strict guidelines in place because at one point they were inundated with apps that provided dubious and outright incorrect information. We asked the city to back this up, and they did. ORMC will update the information provided on the app weekly. City Manager Michael Barrero said the city was eager to support a project that helps provide accurate information to residents. He noted that during the past year, hospitals like ORMC and Medical Center Hospital, various city departments, and other organizations have worked together closely to address COVID. The city has been involved in everything we can do to combat this deadly disease, Marrero said. We felt it was important to be able to go to one site and get relevant information. We think it's a great tool for our citizens. We're on a great trajectory. COVID rates in Odessa continue to decrease, but we're not out of the woods yet. Wesley Burnett, Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said the app can be a useful tool for local businesses to help them monitor COVID rates locally. A photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Venu Yankarla demonstrates how to use the COVID in the Basin app during a press conference about its release Wednesday morning at the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, March 18th, 2021, local. Local news roundup. Fish Fry Drive-Through. The newly formed Knights of Columbus Council number 17679 has scheduled a drive-through fish fry from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church, 2633 Conover Avenue. Plates are $12 each. Drive-through only, no dining in. Visit tinyurl.com/466SCYZV. Gun Expo. Silver Spur Trade Show has scheduled the Gun and Blade Show from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at the Ector County Coliseum, Building G, 4201 Andrews Highway. Admission is $7 for adults or free for 12 and under, $1 off NRA/TSRA or military with ID. All law enforcement free with their badge. Cash only. Visit www.com. silverspurtradeshows.com/home. Spring cleanup. Keep Odessa Beautiful has scheduled Don't Mess With Texas Trash Off spring cleanup through April 23rd. Families, groups, businesses, and individuals are invited to register at keepodessabeautiful.org/DMWT. A volunteer appreciation luncheon will be announced at a later date. Volunteers needed. The Crisis Center of West Texas is offering a free training for community members interested in serving on the Crisis Response Team. Trainings will be held on Saturdays, March 20th, March 27th, April 10th, and April 17th in the UTPB Mesa Building Game Room. Volunteers are essential to the CRT and provide essential response services to survivors of domestic and sexual violence immediately after an assault occurs. Volunteers are required by the Texas Attorney General to complete a training course and 10 hours of shadowing. This course will cover the dynamics of sexual and domestic violence, trauma-informed care, and other tools that will help you support survivors. Members of the CRT volunteer for overnight and weekend shifts based on your availability on a rotating basis. To volunteer, complete application online at tinyurl.com/3dbfra8s. For more information, email Elizabeth Texera at elizabeth@ccwtx.org. OANews@OAOA.com. District looks to keep full funding. OANews@OAOA.com. Superintendent Scott Murray told Ector County ISD board members the district won't lose state funding for the 2,000 or so students missing from last year to this year, but there are strings attached. In his legislative update, Murray said Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath made the decision recently to allow school districts to be held harmless for enrollment and attendance drops during the pandemic, the board recap said. This means ECISD will not lose the funding for the 2,000 or so students missing from last year to this year. Murray added that there will be stipulations for receiving this money, and it means about $8.5 million to ECISD. From the federal level, Murray said the first round of CARES Act funding benefited ECISD, which received money directly from the state and nearly $1 million combined in CARES funding from the City of Odessa and Ector County for technology purchases for students, the recap said. Two additional rounds of CARES Act funding has been approved to provide to states for education, which could mean about $25 million for ECISD that is currently sitting in state coffers, and potentially another $75 million earmarked for ECISD, the recap said. This money is designated from the federal government to address students' learning loss over the next few years, Murray said. During Tuesday's board workshop, Murray said there are ongoing legislative discussions about how money will be distributed to school districts, as the state may use it to replace regular school funding, called supplanting. Murray said he testified before the Congressional Committee on Education and Labor during spring break and will be meeting with state leaders in Austin next week to talk about this topic. He said federal money earmarked for school districts should go directly to school districts and not be used to supplant regular funding from the state of Texas, the recap said. Data now shows significant amounts of work will be needed to help students overcome the learning loss students have experienced since the pandemic started 1 year ago. Murray said maintaining the same level of funding for education will not produce the necessary results, the recap said. On another item, trustees heard a presentation on adding sixth grade to Austin Montessori Magnet. Murray said the proposal will be brought back to the board next week for a vote. Principal Tanya Haygood said if approved, sixth grade would start next fall. Currently, Austin Montessori is a pre-kindergarten, three-year-old through fifth grade model with three levels: early childhood, PK3, PK4, and kindergarten. Elementary 1, first, second, and third grade. Elementary 2, fourth and fifth grade. Supplemental agenda material says adding sixth grade will allow students to have a culminating year of Montessori and will provide students an opportunity to complete the final three-year Montessori cycle. An interest survey was shared with current fifth-grade families, and data shows that 80% of fifth-grade families prefer to stay at Austin for their sixth-grade year, the material said. A parent meeting will be held with fifth-grade students to communicate options, and current Austin families will reserve their seat by completing the Schools of Choice Intent to Return form, the material says. Haygood said the campus has about 450 students and 23 teachers. This would add up to 50 students. The campus previously had sixth grade, so Haygood said space won't be a problem. Trustees also heard a presentation from the Guidance and Counseling Department, which provides a full range of support for students, from college and career advice to mental health and crisis support to social-emotional learning. The recap said they do this with a team of 88 counselors assigned across the district's 43 schools. In the first semester, ECISD counselors conducted more than 5,000 sessions/contacts with students and families. The department is active on social media using YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter to provide resources and other support. Social-emotional learning is an immediate priority of the strategic plan. ECISD used a student connectedness survey in the fall and will use it again before the end of the school year, the recap said. Overall, students in ECISD elementary schools express a good level of connectedness, measured in engagement, rigorous expectations, school climate, and sense of belonging. Students in middle and high schools rate those areas lower, the recap said. Guidance and Counseling provides professional development on social-emotional learning for all ECISD staff. This work, along with emphasizing mental health awareness plus college, career, and military readiness for every student, are the next areas of focus for counselors, the recap said. The board also got an update from the Talent Development Department. Talent development has three areas of focus: creating expanding talent pipelines, outlining career pathways, and guiding professional learning. Many avenues exist for teachers to hone their skills, become mentors and team leaders, and earn more money without leaving the classroom, the recap said. Executive Director of Talent Development Ashley Osborne said the district would have a teacher earn a six-figure salary in the near future. She used the example of a middle school math teacher with 10 years of experience with a master's degree, who is a multi-classroom leader, an opportunity culture role, and earns a teacher incentive allotment designation as one who would top $100,000 in a particular year, the recap said. On another item, in his opening remarks, Murray said ECISD now has about 71% overall of its students back to face-to-face learning. On the net, HectorCountyISD.org. Superintendent to present State of the District. OA News at OAOA.com. Hector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray will present the State of the District address at 7 p.m. tonight. The address will be broadcast over the district's Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube platforms. Murray will highlight ECISD's accomplishments over the previous year, a year with many unexpected challenges, yet many opportunities to grow within those challenges, a news release said. On a separate item, Saturday evening, Odessa High School and Permian High School will renew their rivalry on the baseball field at 7 p.m. at Midland's Momentum Bank Ballpark, home of the Midland Rockhounds. In conjunction with the game, it is ECISD Employee Appreciation Night, and ECISD employees can get into this game for free with their work ID badge. On the net, facebook.com/Ector County ISD. Landgraf back on air at CBS 7. OA News at OAOA.com. A familiar face will be returning to the desk at CBS 7. Veteran broadcaster Shelby Landgraf will be returning from hiatus and has been named the CBS 7 interim news director and co-anchor of the 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. newscasts with Jay Hendricks, a press release by CBS 7 stated. Landgraf joined the CBS 7 team in 2017. She graduated from Trinity University with a bachelor's degree in speech communication and business administration before diving into broadcast journalism. Landgraf has lived in different parts of the world, graduating from high school in Germany, and has given back to the community, serving on the West Texas Food Bank Board of Directors, as well as the John Ben Shepherd Public Leadership Institute Advisory Board. For more information about Landgraf and the CBS 7 team, visit cbs7.com. 411 days. For 411 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 16,473 total cases, 345 deaths. Midland County, 16,788 total cases, 256 deaths. Texas, 2,737,763 total cases, 46,651 deaths. U.S. cases, 29,174,758 total confirmed, and 534,099 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital is administering COVID-19 first dose Pfizer vaccines from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at MCH urgent care locations at 3001 JBS Parkway and 6030 West University Boulevard. Vaccines are for Phase 1A frontline workers and residents at long-term care facilities, and Phase 1B, most at risk for ages 65 and older. No appointment is necessary and walk-ins are welcome. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit mchodessa.com/coronavirus. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is administering COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. To check on availability or to make an appointment, call 432-582-8549 or visit www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/vaccine. ORMC will contact those who received the first dose Pfizer dose at Ratliff to set their second/booster shot appointment. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR6NEUD. AGB pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For guidelines, to schedule an appointment, or for more information, visit CVS.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For guidelines, to schedule an appointment, or for more information, visit www.walmart.com/CP/12282302 or www.samsclub.com/pharmacy. From Staff Reports. Closing prices. Posted, $61.08. Futures, $64.60. Natural gas, $2.528. Benchmark U.S. fell 20 cents to $64.60 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.